Tell the truth.
Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Rick Adams is on.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome to our program once again on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3 Central Time here, only on republicbroadcasting.org. They're the only ones that'll have me. I wonder why, huh? Well, anyway, today is the beginning, of course, of the holiday weekend, Columbus Day, and we're not going to talk about Columbus today. I don't think we have to. There are varying views and varying different opinions on the efficacy and the financing of those voyages. Suffice it to say that in the plan of God's economy and God's providence, that Columbus made it here, and a whole bunch of others followed, in what was known as the New World. He never set foot on America, American soil, we're told, but here we are. In his foreshadow came explorers to come, and we know who many of them are, and from the explorers then came the centuries later British and European migration to this land that is called America/Israel, the Israel of God, the New Jerusalem, if you will. So this weekend is it, Monday. And last week, when we were on the program, you know, I did say, with all of the minutiae that was being, you know, peddled by the CIA media about, you know, this business of an impeachment inquiry by the Democrats and the Trump Brigade and Trump's campaign for re-election and all of this taking place, that something was about to happen. Something major was about to take place. And you know what? I want to save it for the next few minutes, because today Art will not be with us again. He has some family problems he has to take care of, some sickness in the family, so we beseech your prayers and your support for him, and nothing that he can't handle, of course, but he will be back with us. Just to let you know, his website, of course, is accessible at noplaceforcorruption.com. Now, this morning I was having breakfast in a restaurant that I go to with family, and one of the guys there, who is one of these Christians, fellow Christians, in a church that is an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. And, you know, we argue from time to time. We mock each other, and we have a little fun. But, you know, he really is something else. He really is something. Because, evidently, I got him to looking deeper, much deeper, into some of the things I've been telling him about theology and about the Gospels and about the Scriptures. And so, I know he loves the rapture theory. He just adores the rapture. He says amen every time I mention the rapture theory. And to him, that is gospel. Well, I'm not surprised. 99 and 98 or 100% of these churches today really love the rapture theory. They love the idea that they don't have to be here to face Satan, so they think. They're going to be gone on a honeymoon with the Lord. So anyway, he came up to me and he says, I've been looking into some of the things on your programs on public access TV and so forth, and this and that, and, you know, I don't agree with the definitions and the Strong's Concordance, and you don't go by that, and you go by this, and my pastor knows because he speaks the Greek and he speaks the Hebrew and blah, blah, blah. Pastor Mike knows it all. Well, in so many words, he didn't say knows it all, but basically that's what they are, know-it-alls. So anyway, we morphed from the subject of definitions and the meaning of words in the Strong's Concordance, and there have been different Strong's Concordance. So I morphed into something along the lines of the rapture. But I first said to him, check out the Moffat translation. Check out Bollinger. Don't just go by one source and see if in fact, you have not been deceived by mistranslations. And so, you know, he's the kind of guy who just truthfully is not a seeker. For the most part, he's not seeking the truth. He's wrapped up in his theology. It's his safety blanket. It's his comfort zone. And who am I to disturb it? I just tell him what I believe. I tell him what I see, what I don't see. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You know, I mean, if there's no rapture, I don't have anything to lose. And I know there's no rapture. But if there's no rapture for him, well, let me tell you, that's going to be a different story because he's wrapped up his heart and soul in this rapture. So I looked online again today just to see what different churches and theologians are saying. And one of them is, what does the Bible say about the rapture? It reminds me of a time when I was in a church. It was a separatist church in Foster, Rhode Island. And the pastor was kind of a little bit strange, you know, he was a little bit judgmental, and he was one of these people that, you know, he used to always judge somebody as to whether or not this one is saved, that one is saved, and that belongs to God. But he was a good teacher in political applications of the Bible. He knew the communist racket inside out. He knew all of it. He knew the theoretics behind it. He knew all of the communist programs for conquest and the Soviet Union, all the spies. He was great at that. But one of the pamphlets that this pastor had at the exit or entrance of the church, the basement, was a pamphlet called, What Does the Bible Say About the Rapture? And it says, turn over for answer. And when you turned it over, it was one sheet. And it was blank. That's right, it was blank. And the meaning, obviously, was that the Bible says nothing about the rapture of the church, as they call it. So I was reading on one of the sites, and, you know, and I was getting different viewpoints. What does the Bible say about the rapture? And one of them, the Christian Bible reference site, says, and this is very true, and I told him this, the word rapture does not appear anywhere in the Bible. And then he said, in the Latin, it is rapare. And so I read that. It comes from the Latin word rapare, which simply means seize or snatch or take away. The term rapture is used to refer to the faithful believers being taken up to meet the Lord in the air, as described in the passage written by the Apostle Paul. And they totally mistook Paul and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So he had to write another epistle, and in that, which I'm going to quote from very briefly, the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, that what I'm talking about is the dead. Where are the dead? The dead have risen first in Christ. But he's not talking about the living who are here when Jesus comes. When Jesus returns in flaming fire, he's going to meet his saints. His saints will come with him, his army, and Christians, believers, those who are called, obviously will be here to meet him. Not up in the air waiting for him to descend. So, that is the problem. The word rapare means to seize and snatch or take away. It does not mean to pull up into the air, which they use the Greek word, the word ara, which means breath of life. That is something entirely different. It is an experience of the breath of life. Just like they misuse the term born again. Well, you're not going to come out of your mother's womb again, as Nicodemus found, obviously. It's born from above, from God, in spirit. Not going to be a matter of being born of the flesh again, obviously. You only come this way once, and that's it. So having said that, you know, I told them to look it up and to understand that rapture is contrary to the word. And, you know, again, his pastor tells him, and his pastor is a scholar and he knows it all. So, you know, we parted company on that note. But I try to refer people who are open-minded and not just led by their church or by their minister, by their priest, to believe something that is not being taught. So when we have in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, in the King James Version, and he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him," this is the gathering to him, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." And in the final verse, 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you." These are the men today that are deceiving. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, the day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed." The son of who? Of perdition. That's Satan. So he has to come first. He's not going to come after the rapture of the church. And for, I don't know what it is, but for some unforeseen reason, they don't get it. They just don't understand that, because they've been programmed to believe a lie. And that's what, you know, the apostle taught, that's what God taught in his word, that if you want to believe a lie, I will let you, and I will send you a strong delusion that you believe more lies and greater lies. And that's why they're so befuddled, these clergymen today. They're so confused. And their children, their people, their attendees in the church don't know up from Adam, pardon the expression. But they really, truly don't. And they're arrogant, they're cocky, and they're judgmental in many cases. I told you about this woman. She's 82, Anne, and she's a Catholic, but she said she reads the Bible every day, and she believes in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she believes, and she doesn't probably understand many of the contradictions in the church, but her personally is what God's concerned about, not what church she's in, but whether her heart is right. And from what she tells me, told me that in this particular church where this man attends, the man that I talked with this morning, that one of them came up to her and said, "You're a Catholic. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell." And that's exactly what this woman told her. And she said, "Can you imagine that? How would you like it if I told you that you're going to hell because you're in this church?" And this went on, and finally the woman and somebody else came and apologized to her. That's not their business to judge a soul. That's God's business. And quite frankly, many of these people who do this, do the judging and who do the accusing, they are on that path to hell, destruction. And I'm not going to say where, because I don't know where they'll wind up. But you know what? It does implore people. Think about whether or not they're in the right church, or maybe they shouldn't be in that church, any church. Maybe they should worship God amongst others, privately and collectively, if you will, or individually. I found that there's no greater substitute than studying the word line upon line and sentence upon sentence, book upon book, by myself. I have to do it on my own. I found that out in prayer. I've asked people to pray for me. Times have passed, and then I found out, hey, that's all well and good, but what's wrong with me praying to God directly? Isn't that what he says? Yes. He would much rather hear from you personally than from others praying on your behalf. And I think that's exactly where many of us have gone wrong. So, in any event, I don't mean to belabor this point, but my point today is this church, this age of this church before the end times, is so beset with poor teaching, bad teaching, corrupt teaching, false teaching, that it's no wonder that in the book of Amos, chapter 8, I believe it's verse 11, he says that the end times will see a famine in the land, a famine for hearing the word of God. Not for bread as much, but for hearing the word of God. These churches are all across the landscape. They're multiplying like Holocaust museums, if I can use that expression. And they have so much in common, too. But, you know, again, the point I'm making is they're all over preaching the word. And they're converting people. They're bringing them in by the busloads, yet they still can't pay the note. They still can't pay the debt obligation. They're still in debt as the borrower and not the lender. Why? That's not scriptural. That's not biblical. Paul didn't say, get away with your tents, throw them away and build a huge building, and go to my friends, the sons of the devil, and borrow some money from them. They'll just give you the money with little interest, 50%. Didn't say any such thing. Peter didn't. Mark didn't. None of them did. And so these churches today are locked and loaded, because when they can't pay, and when Satan does appear as the Savior, he comes to heal and fill their bank accounts with peace and prosperity, as Trump says, guess what? They're going to be locked and loaded to believe that must be the real Jesus, because they really don't even know the basic fundamentals of these end-time prophecies. They really and truly don't understand that. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he is ruling over their minds today like never before. There are a lot of wolves, my friend, in sheep's clothing. And that's what you have to understand more than anything. So I just wanted to make that point right now. And don't forget, you can reach us, and many of you are on our chat site. What is it now? deadlyexperiment.chatango.com, and you can go on the chat sites, and apparently there is always discussion about Rick Adams Uncensored and the Deadly Experiment, my other name. As you know, I haven't posted any to our new site lately because I've been so involved with other things and trying to make sure that we are prepared for the financial times to come. Financially, we are in a horrible state. Financially, the whole world now is teetering on global collapse, as it was intended to do. And this is the international bankster, gangster, criminal enterprise, my friends, is to take the world down. That's what World War II was all about, to put us all on that even keel, so to speak, that international cartel of banks and loans and theft and plunder. And that's exactly what they did. Now, it just so happens, by the way, that I'm looking today and always read the slime, as I call it, the Times of Israel, and try to get in the JP, Jerusalem Post, as well, some of the others, of course. And it's interesting because, as I was saying last week, something big might happen on the world stage to distract us further from the current milieu of topics that we are being told we must talk about. We must talk about Trump. We must talk about Ukraine Gate. We must talk about Nancy Pelosi. Well, we're now talking about other things, and wait till you hear what's coming when I return. Rick Adams Uncensored here on RBN.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, I'm back now, Rick Adams. A lot in store today. We're going to have a special guest link to a segment of a symposium, actually, by a man who is probably a great scholar at one of the Christian universities in the South. And, of course, he was let go from his position. He started to step on too many big toes. But one of the things he did was he used to talk about conspiracies, and he used to tie them all together historically and biblically as well. I think you're going to find this program today very interesting indeed. So you stay tuned, turn up the volume, and we'll get into the real issues, okay? So, what happened last week? I predicted there'd be some kind of massacre, some kind of shooting, alleged or real. And then sure enough, we heard it from Germany, of all places, right? A synagogue shooting. And we read about several supposedly killed and a bunch more wounded while they were at prayer. They were praying to their God, and they were so fastidiously at that during the Yom Kippur holy day. And sure enough, we read now, as the investigations unfold, that somebody provided this shooter with money to be able to conduct this, quote, massacre, as it's being called. That was averted only because the synagogues wooden door held firm against the 27-year-old neo-Nazi gunman, say two people who witnessed the event. Now, this is something that is expected. I predicted something along these lines would take place. I didn't know if it would be a school shooting or if it would be another synagogue, a church, or any other facility, a daycare center, an elderly affairs center, a veterans affairs office, or what have you. But I did see something coming, and the time is right. We need to have more events, which will lead to more martial law scenarios, as they suggest in Europe. And right now, of course, as you know, the big push for the European Union and the European nations is to bring about that kind of martial law control over the growth of what they call anti-Semitism. And it's so out of control now. It's so far flung. It is just mushrooming and reaching the stratosphere that something must be done about these types of activities that are claiming so many innocent lives, we're told. So a PSYOP will do that. A PSYOP will definitely gain the world's sympathy and hearken people's ears to the radio, to the television. And Lying Lester the other night, I watched it unfold, and I admire the way he introduced it. Now, because of the images involved and the graphic images, we just cannot show you what happened, but trust us, it happened. And sure enough, I knew that was the red flag. Here we go again. Synagogue attacker reportedly admits to receiving anonymous funding online, naturally on the internet, and he admits, this guy, to anti-Semitic motive in German synagogue attack. Now, we've been told all these years that there's hardly a synagogue left in anywhere in Germany. And yet, now we're being told that we had an active participation in this synagogue, and that this is one of several in Germany today. So we've been told two entirely different things, typically, of course, as we have with everything else. So now we're being told that this dwindling small population of so-called Judaists is now under siege, and the only thing they can do is to fight back against this huge resurgence of European, that is, Israelite anti-Semitism, of course. Naturally, how do you fight? You fight those who are your enemies, and those who are God's children. You have to create a situation in which you have the sympathy of the innocent but stupid world, not questioning a single thing, and then you build from there. Free speech must be done away with. Organizations must be shut down. They must be raided, as they have been under Angela Merkel and others. And they are being raided in Britain. They are being shut down in France. They are being searched and found out to be so-called Nazi front groups, which means they are essentially intel. So it's they who are participating in many cases, creating these false flag type events so that they can produce the desired result. The old dialectic, isn't it, huh? You bet it is. Over and over again, it works, my friends. And now, in the same edition of the Times of Israel, My Walk with Christ, who is it? Secretary of State Pompeo gives a contentious speech on being a Christian leader. Oh, my. I don't know what to do at this point, ladies and gentlemen. Should I give up? Get my rapture seat ready? No, I think I'll stay. Stay tuned. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Let me just trudge along here and refer to this article about Pompeo. Mike Pompeo now, before a group of America's, in Tennessee, of course, before that group that really is an evangelical group of people in Tennessee, Nashville, I guess, that he spoke to, and they're counselors, Christian counselors, he said. So anyway, he apparently emphasized that when, he deems to speak at commencements and various other functions or speak before an audience, that his concern is for Christian leadership. Now, I don't know which Christ or which God he's referring to, but you certainly wouldn't see it found evident in any of his recent excursions across the globe and attempts at extortion and blackmail of other nations on behalf of the powerful synagogue of Satan. However, that's beside the point. The point here is very interesting, is that who protested those comments? Well, somebody by the name of Aaron Kavak. He is the former head of the National Jewish Democratic Council, questioning, not even a Republican, questioning the propriety of Pompeo and his use of his platform to promote a particular religion. My goodness, now I'm sure that he would be just as adamant if Pompeo was Henry Kissinger, and Henry Kissinger was promoting the virtues of Judaism. and how wonderful Judaism is, and that he's proud to be a Jew evangelist. I'm sure that this individual would be just as prone to protest. Well, don't you believe so? You don't? Why not? What's fair is fair. And, you know, fairness is the hallmark of these extremist Jewish activists, isn't it? So anyway, that's the point I was trying to make, you know. It's like when W. Bush was being inaugurated, and he said he wanted to have a Christian minister speak and deliver the invocation before him. Who was it but Alan Dershowitz who screamed the loudest and said, "That's separation of church and state," like this guy said. "We can't have that. How dare you? How dare you allow that?" I would probably, you know, have agreed on other grounds, definitely, that no Christian minister worth his salt would deliver any kind of convocation or any kind of address on behalf of the Bushes. That's for sure. But be that as it may, the howl, the protest, the screaming went up because of the word Christ. And that is who they hate the most, obviously. I didn't say it. They said it. As you're going to learn today, I had visited Bob Jones University in the 1970s thinking I might attend, and I did fill out an application. I was interested at the time at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. It was a very strict but fundamentalist institution, and all I could say at the time was I was interested in learning about attending Bob Jones University, if not to finish out my baccalaureate, to possibly do a higher degree, to get a master's degree. It was in communications, and why I was interested was because they happened to have had a great motion picture, arts, cinema, and speech communications department. So I was interested in that, but it never came to fruition, and frankly, I'm glad I didn't. As you know, Bob Jones University used to have a policy. I said used to have a policy years and years ago of no miscegenation interracially, right? And that was a good policy, a logical one. I agree with that policy. But then along came subsequent administrations, and the Justice Department said, "You can't do that. You're a tax-exempt institution. You're like a church group, and you can't allow that. We can't allow that. You either conform or you lose all these students on grants, all these students who have these loans, and we can enforce it." So guess what Bob Jones University did? They acceded. They conceded. That's right. They gave in. They knuckled under. Not surprising, did they? Of course not. Not surprising. So, in any event, why I bring this up is because there was a professor there, and I found him out while I was studying about Bob Jones and studying conspiracy theorists and so on and so forth, and I sort of fell in love with what he was doing. And his name is Stuart Crane. Maybe some of you recognize that name. Stuart Crane was a professor in the Business Administration Department of Learning, the School of Business Administration at BJU, Bob Jones University. But he veered off and got into so many areas of his own personal expertise and interest, particularly history, global conspiracies, the scriptures, and so forth. Now, eventually, of course, they fired him. They canned him because he was stepping on some pretty sore toes, and he was talking about the anointed ones that I just mentioned. Stuart Crane dealt with that. He dealt with these people, and he dealt with others as well, the Masons, for one. He was very scholarly, and I think he just passed a few years ago, I think maybe 2016, if I'm not mistaken. But I have two separate addresses in his, I think he delivered a six-hour symposium on proofs of a conspiracy, and this is the address. This is the title which he gave it. Now, the first one I have for you here is one that we're going to start in a particular portion because they run like 2 hours each. So we're going to just share with you some of the insight that Stuart Crane, as professor, had. that you will not find today, hardly at any college or university, on various subjects. And one of the things that he was talking about, of course, had to do with the studies that we're dealing with here today, and others as well. He dealt with science, pseudoscience, evolutionism, and the proofs of a conspiracy in general, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and so on and so forth. Beyond that, of course, you'll hear at a starting point here, you'll hear where he was leaving off in discussing, for instance, rape. And can rape or a rapist be changed and reformed? And he was quoting somebody who said, no, they cannot. And then he was drawing an analogy between that and those who call themselves of our brother Judah. So let's get into Professor Stuart Crane's first dissertation as much as we can share with you right now. Here he comes.
Certainly a child of God could have nothing to do with it. Because if he did what he was supposed to do, he'd get fired. He simply can't survive in it. We are seeing a war on business, small business, leaving everything only in the massive cartels, and to create a dual class society of the super elite with the massive cartels and the plebeians, the mass, who have absolutely no voice. You see, the only threat that these people have is that middle class, that class of independent individualists who don't belong to their organizations, to their system, and aren't, if you're a self-employed man, you can sit there and say, Charlie, take a walk, you know? But if you work for General Motors, you don't do that. You hit the street. And you're 40 years old, you can't get another job. You lick boots. That's what you do. You lick boots and wait for your pension. And then they give you inflation, so that's worthless when you get it. They eat that up, and you can't even buy that little cottage you thought you were going to retire in. They rob you after all the service by destroying your savings. Destroying that pension through inflation by creating more and more and more confetti. And by the way, this isn't stupidity. As Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, if it happens, we planned it that way. It is following the plan. And the only thing that these people have to fear are those, just like the Caesar. Who did he fear? Those Christians who would not play the game. They wouldn't burn the incense. And you know what happened? They started burning those guys, right? And putting them before lions. And you know what happened? Every time they killed two dozen of them down the arena floor, there were hundreds of converts in the stands. They wondered what kept those guys, what made them do it. How could they face a lion singing a hymn? Those people weren't great, eloquent preachers. They preached with the greatest testimony of all, their blood in that sand. And it brought the Roman Empire down. Do you notice? I told you about the six empires up to the Roman Empire. The world was always under one. There hasn't been one since. Do you know why? The salt in the earth. But ye are the salt of the earth. And that salt, as long as it's present, doesn't have to be in large quantity, it holds back the corruption, the leaven. Any country, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, God, finally, Abraham was arguing with God, and they got down to 10. If you can find 10 righteous men, Abraham, I'll spare it. Abraham started up with a big number. He got down finally to 10. What about the 10? God says, okay, I'll spare it for 10. 10 in both cities. Just give me 10, and I won't do it. There weren't 10. The best he could find was Lot. You see, what they can't stand is when you don't play in their ballpark. And you say, this is what the scriptural position is. Come out from amongst them, be ye separate. You don't have to do anything. Just don't fall down before Nebuchadnezzar. You'll find yourself in the fiery furnace. But notice something else. Sure, those children of Israel found themselves in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't fall down. But they found something else when they got in the fiery furnace. They found there were four in there, not three. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in and sees the four, doesn't he? And they came out without a singe on them. There was not even the smell of the fire. Now that takes some faith. Daniel didn't have it. And that's hard to get across to people to understand. We can call it as you like, civil disobedience. All right? But we are to obey. We're to obey all the laws, the just and righteous laws, but we are not to obey them in spiritual matters. And we are to obey the law of the land. Just like when I deal with a government agent, I say, is it the law? Well, we won't answer that. Well, you're going to have to answer that. If it is the law, I got to obey. If it is the law, I will obey. I pledge to obey. I promise to obey. If it is the law. You got to do it anyway. No. That I don't. It's got to be the law. And they refuse to answer. They take the Fifth Amendment every time you inquire of these guys. What? What? Take the Fifth? Oh, yes, you can. It's tough because they lie. They lie about what you said. They say you said. Because remember, there's no honesty in them. If there was, they wouldn't be there. That's the problem. Well, anyway, I kind of hate to get into the next subject now. Have we got coffee? Oh, boy. Is there coffee there? Why, you've been sitting over there hogging that stuff and not telling it? Wow.
Let's get some coffee.
Let's take up a little bit, and we're talking about the crown. I want to make some explanation about the crown. The crown itself is a committee. The head, titular head of the Masonic orders of England and America, is the monarch of England, which gives you a little problem with Elizabeth, but they kind of make her into a male for a while. And anyway, you get over there in Windsor Castle, and you go into the uniting room. Well, they knight all of these guys, and you're going into the lodge room, and you see these guys who faithfully serve into the secret orders. They get all sorts of dubbed and things, you know, and they tap swords on them, and they allow them to put their little emblems around on the wall in this great hall. At every place you walk in these great cathedrals, for example, in England, you watch these cathedrals. They're fantastic buildings. But they are all cult. They are all cult from the beginning to the end. And we'll take a look at some of them and talk a little more about the lodge while we're into it. And people get all hung up on this something which bothers me. And maybe it's because it seems clear to me, and maybe I just don't see for the forest for the trees or whatever the case is. But they get all hung up on this thing called Israel, or the Jews. And they get hung up on it because we obviously, if we look and see the people in the control of the media, banking, industry, in politics, in the courts, and the places of people who are in pornography, and one thing after another, and we see the very peculiar actions of our government, which seems to favor one particular group of people over all others, to give them any type of aid and sustenance. It's quite obvious that something is going on that isn't. Everything isn't on the even up and up. All right, and obviously there is some sort of combination involved here. Now, if you do look, for example, at the Jews as a group, and I was raised in an almost all-Jewish neighborhood, you find there are two kinds of Jews. There are those Jews who really don't seem to be on the inside of anything. They seem to have the problems that other people have. And then there's another clique. This clique doesn't seem to have any problems. Everything is open for them. And every time you get some, like one time we were having a little association meeting of businessmen, And these guys are sitting there, and finally about the most people left. There were just about 8 or 10 of us left. And they said, now that we're all Jews here, they're going to now sit down and have the plan. You say, I should have kept quiet and watched this thing go. But I said, no, we're not. And they looked at me. They thought, maybe that nose of mine, I guess, is something. But these are property owners in Detroit. We look and we see, obviously, the operation of a combination. And we see an inordinate power in this group of people. This inordinate power, you can sit and attribute it to one thing or after another. I would be more inclined, now watch, I'm being careful. I'd be more inclined, from a secular point of view, that these people who are the strongest adherents to the Talmud, to the secret writings, and there's nothing more evil and vile and immoral than the Talmud. And we must remember that Judaism versus Mosesism, we're speaking of two different religions. Mosesism is the following of the Old Testament as a law of practice. Judaism, as we know today, is the following of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. And you have here two entirely different things. I have met Jews who are Torahic and are not Talmudic. And I've met most that I have run into are Talmudic and not Torahic. Now, is there two different classes? Well, I'm not on the inside. I don't know. I would be inclined to believe there are two different groups, one of which doesn't know what the other is in. But certainly the ones who are in the clique of power ruling, that we see the monetary rule, of the media, of the entertainment world, these people are all in the Talmudic group. And once you see a body of this sort, because of the very nature of the conspiracy where the Talmud is, and of the very tight combination, and the very grave threats that are involved in this, you build a force. A force that by intimidation, without any moral restraint, the Talmud puts no moral restraint. Do you know why?
And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable.
State
laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Hey, we're going to rejoin Professor Stuart Crane in his lecture.
Because in the Talmud, you are known as Goyim, cattle. You are not human. Therefore, the moral requirements of the Bible do not apply to you. Therefore, there is no restraint. You see, a normal person sits and he says, well, there's right and wrong.
And he may do wrong, but he knows it's wrong. And therefore, there is a certain constraint on, you know, what he does. He's embarrassed or ashamed or has some feeling of compulsion about this. And so there is to the normal person, there is a limitation of how far he'll go. But to a person who has bought the position of the Talmud, he is under no restraint at all, except for those who are also under that same Talmud. You now build a organization of people under a conspiracy who are absolutely ruthless merely because there is no restraint. All moral obligation is gone, except to the members of that conspiracy. If you have people who believe that and act upon that, you will start building a very evil and a very powerful machine, which is what we see. Now, I want to show you something else. The other day, I was listening to the radio, driving along, and they were interviewing this gal, and usually you get these gals in these afternoon programs, you get some real dingbats. Well, this one wasn't. She sounded like she was going to be, and she really had quite a bit of sense. What she has done is write a book about rape and rape victims. And you think, oh boy, this is going to be one of those, another one of those dribbles that's going to go on. And she is saying, when we're dealing with a rapist, and we're talking about the laws of a rapist and so forth, in the penal system, we find a very peculiar thing about a rapist. Never do you have rehabilitation. Never has one ever been rehabilitated because of the nature of the rapist. And the problem in a court is that the people who are in the jury do not understand what they're dealing with, because the people in the jury are normal citizens, have an idea of right and wrong. A rapist has no such concept. He has no feeling of guilt. He would do it again in a minute, and there is no restriction or restraint on him, and there is no rehabilitation. There is no possibility of ever returning to society. And so when you're dealing with a rape victim, here this gal is in there, and you've got the testimony of these two people. The jury does not understand the nature of the person you're dealing with. The average person has a problem, and that is that most people have some sort of conscience, some sort of restraint in their actions. But when you have a person who is a dedicated follower of the Talmud, he has none. You are not dealing, it's like with this rapist, you're not dealing with an ordinary person. You're dealing with a person and a group of people who have adopted the idea that the only thing that is important, the only thing that is human, the only thing of value is us. The rest doesn't exist. It's like here one day I was listening to some Arabs being interviewed about the Middle East crisis, you know, and these are just Arab students. This is not...
Let's take that midway break, folks. We'll come back to Professor Stuart Crane. The best is yet to come.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting Facebook.com.